Hello and welcome to Save, a production of iHeartRadio and Stuff Media. I'm Anna Uries.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we're talking about medieval times. Yeah, not like the actual times which were medieval, like medieval times, dinner and tournament.
Yes.
Entertainment and food concept.
Indeed. Indeed. And this one has been on our list for an embarrassingly long time. We've been trying to go for years. No joke, years.
Yeah. It's difficult to drive up to Sugarloaf Parkway, to be super honest.
To the Atlanta Castle. It's really, really funny. I can't wait to talk about my experiences there, because I have been.
I have not. So I've
got a lot of memories, fond and not so fond.
and there was that recent SNL sketch.
Yes, which I say mandatory watching material for this episode, brought it back to the forefront of our minds. But it was when, Adam Driver was playing this kind of intense actor who worked at a medieval times and took his role perhaps a little too seriously. Yes.
As we all do sometimes.
Yeah. And it resulted in, as you might imagine, hilarity.
Yeah.
Hijinks.
Yes, hijinks.
Yes. My fave line is when Cameron, Adam Driver, he says, "The manager, Steve P., charges you $110 for chicken and potato and does not even give you the dignity of a fork." And then Keenan, who's in the audience, says, "Yeah, I do want a fork. No grown man should have to eat a baked potato with his hands." It's really good.
And it's, it's true.
It is true. We were discussing that before we start. There is sort of a novelty at first of eating things with your hands in public, which, by the way, there are no utensils at these restaurants. Mm-hmm. But it wears off pretty quick. I've been twice. Once, it was my super hard won first trip to Disney World Universal via high school marching band, but I was aide.
Oh, okay.
And so I was in seventh grade.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you signed up to be in this club specifically for the Disney trip,
yes,
didn't you?
Only reason I did it, because my parents swore they would never take me. And so I was like, well, I'll find my own way. And I did. And that was the last year they did it. So I'm glad I did sign up to be a Band-Aid.
Oh, my gosh.
We went to the one in Kissimmee, Florida. And it was sort of a group. I mean, the whole class went there, and I didn't know this was a thing.
Oh.
And so I roll up, and there's this castle, and I've been told there's dinner here. I'm very confused. But it was quite fun. And my night, because it's divided into six color-coded sections,
correct.
I believe.
Yeah.
And my night was the traitor. At the time, one night.
Was always the traitor.
So you're like, I bought props, by the way, everybody.
Oh, yeah. She's Annie has her banner with her and her little paper crown.
Yes. So you're like cheering for your knight, like, yeah, go knight. And then he was a traitor, and you feel kind of like, well, I guess I don't cheer anymore. Like, do I want him to kill the king?
You switch. Just turn on a dime and be like, oh, bad. Yeah. And we have been betrayed ourselves.
Yes. You're right. I should have. And then I went a few years back to the one in Atlanta, which opened in 2006. It's kind of outside of Atlanta, but Atlanta area. For my birthday, which was not a sad thing. It was a happy thing. I wanted to go. They have a birthday coupon, and it's pretty legit. And my night was a traitor again.
Ah.
I am cursed.
I'm beginning to think that this is on you.
Oh, my gosh. You think? I'm pretty sure they don't do that anymore, but
there is one, like, bad guy night still in the storyline.
Is there?
Yeah.
I thought they got so many complaints about, like, well, I took my kid, and then they get in this one section, and they're the traitor. I didn't realize the first time I went there, I think the biggest mistake I made was I didn't realize you were either supposed to wait, have patience, or use your bread to stop up the soup. So I picked up the metal bowl and, like, went in to sip it, and it was hot. I burned the heck out of my hands.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's no joke.
Sad story.
Yes, it was sad. Not so sad one, though. I did want to read the birthday email I got from Medieval Times, which I'm sad. There was a whole chain with Lauren and Dylan and I think, where we were riffing on this, and I can't find it. It was very funny.
It was very full of huzzas.
Yes.
It was.
Most noble Annie, we take great pleasure in wishing you a happiest of birthdays. We would like to extend this royal invitation to return to your nearest castle and celebrate with those that you hold in the highest regard. Together, we will feast. We will revel in your recent glory, and we will raise our glass to many prosperous crusades to come. With grace and honor, the noble families of medieval times. I mean, that's high quality stuff. You're going to tell me you wouldn't take up that offer?
They called you Most Noble Annie.
I know.
I'm like, are we all supposed to call you that all the time?
Technically, I don't correct you, but okay. It's all right. True.
Okay, Most Noble Annie.
Thank you. But okay, for people who have no idea what this is, let's get to our question. Medieval times. What is it?
Well, Medieval Times Dinner and Tournament is a sort of dinner theater experience with a vaguely medieval Europe theme. The theater portion is a story played by actors about a medieval-ish era royalty hosting a tournament, and you are their guests.
Yes.
And these days, or I guess since the beginning, the story is set in 11th century Spain, although it's in English.
Right.
They're using English accents or English-ish anyway.
Right.
Anyway, there are six knights competing in choreographed sword fights and hand-to-hand combat and games of skill. And there's a joust on horseback. Apparently falconry is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to tell us a little bit more about your experience?
I would love to.
Okay, so you walk into the castle.
Yes, so most of these castles are located in malls.
Right.
Right.
Totally.
So you're
like you do.
Exactly. So the one in Atlanta, for instance, it's a mall, and then there's a drawbridge in the parking lot into a castle.
Oh, my gosh.
And you walk in, and it's kind of right away. You're in the gift shop and, like, souvenir area, and then you get seated, and it's just huge stadium seating all around. And you go through this dinner, and as the courses come out, it starts with the king, but now it's a queen.
Mm-hmm,
but the times I've been, it was a king, would do, I love this, he would announce, like, to the honorable marching band from Lumpkin County, we welcome, like, he calls out all the birthdays, but, like, bridal, which, yes, bachelorette parties and stuff go there.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so it's really funny to hear this sort of modern stuff, which they also have a campaign now about cyberbullying. Interesting. Hear that come from the king's mouth. And then there's sort of a story. It's a very vague storyline of, like, honor, and there's somebody is doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the falcon goes, so he comes out, the falconer, and he releases the falcon. I think there might be a message involved. I don't recall. But it just flies and circles around the stadium. And it gets close. Like, it knocked my friend's hat, his little crown, right off his head.
Holy heck.
Yes. And see, again, the first time I went, I was a seventh grader who had no idea this was a thing. Didn't know what was happening. There's a falcon now. The horses do, like, this kind of dancing thing.
Mm-hmm. Little horse tricks.
Yeah, they do little horse tricks, and then they all the knights get in fights, and you cheer for your section, and then one's a traitor, and you're like, well,
mm-hmm. And all the servers are dressed in like vague, like, peasant uniforms. There's heavy scare quotes involved in that.
Right, and they're called serfs and wenches.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about the cyberbullying thing actually in a minute, but it's interesting. I don't know how much longer that they will be called that as part of their new campaign.
Yeah, I feel like that's a silly thing to do. Like, you're, like, updating to, like, include more women in the cast as, mm-hmm. like, the reigning queen with power and stuff, and then you're like, oh, yes, serving wench, bring me another Pepsi. I'm like, no.
Right.
That's strange.
It is pretty strange. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So the dinner that we're talking about here.
Yeah.
It's a four-course banquet.
Oh, yes.
And that four courses, I'm still Not sure how this is for, but I'll take their word for it. It's a garlic bread and a tomato bisque, half a roast chicken, half a corn on the cob, half a herb-basted russet potato, and the dessert of the castle, or pastry of the castle, as the case may be.
Indeed.
Sometimes I throw, like, a barbecue spare rib in there for good measure. And I've seen desserts ranging from apple turnover to lemon pound cake to butter tart to chocolate chip cookies to chocolate mousse cake to vanilla ice cream with a black currant swirl and caramel sauce. Vegetarian meals are offered upon request. The menu there is a hummus and warm pita bread with carrot and celery sticks, a pasta salad with vegetables and a vinaigrette, a three-bean stew with fire-roasted tomatoes and brown rice, and then fresh fruit or Italian ice for dessert. Coffee, tea, and Pepsi products are available at most locations. There's a full bar for adults. And yes, you are not given utensils unless you get the bean stew, and then apparently they grant you a spoon.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, I know, right?
Huh.
I always think of all things, the cable guy when I think about this, because there's this moment where they go to medieval times and Janine Garofalo is their waitress.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, hey, can I get a fork? And she's like, because there were no forks in medieval times, there are no forks at medieval times. Now, would you like a Pepsi or Diet Pepsi?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, yeah. Anyway, they have ingredients lists online, and I looked everything up, and oh, man, I definitely can't eat anything there. It's all filled with paprika. I can have, like, the garlic bread and, like, the three-bean stew and maybe one of the desserts. Just everything is red.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can figure out. You know, another thing, the drinks are very, like, Applebee's.
Yeah, yeah. I understand that there's a lot of, like, booze slushies involved and, like, just neon colors and everything very much stuck in the 1980s from whence this came.
Right. And I did want to include, before we move on, that, okay, on my hat.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Little paper crown.
It says, it's an ad inside,
oh,
right?
Oh, gosh. Okay.
And it has all the locations, and it says, perfect for any occasion. Birthdays, family reunions, date nights, corporate events, team building, holiday parties, and many more. And I say this because there are different levels of ticket. Because if you want, the baseline price, I feel like it's always discounted at like $39, $40. But it's supposed to be $60, I think. But you can do stuff like a whole package where you get to meet the knight of your choice, you get to meet the king,
you get
take
like a
picture.
Photo, yeah.
Yes, and you get like a take-home goblet. There's all there's different levels of medieval times.
Yeah.
Is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's, no, good to know.
Yes. And on things like Father's Day and Mother's Day, they do like the Queen's Court.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
Yeah, the King's Court. They do every other week is a new thing that they are doing. They advertise and market very aggressively. But anyway, if you're interested... Plenty of events.
Apparently, yeah.
Plenty of events. And if you're interested in being a knight and working there, you should take note. Potential knights have a physical test after a year of training, which is a 10-minute or less mile, a set of 30 push-ups and 50 sit-ups, and then they are allowed the chance at handling the 20 pounds of armor.
Wow. Oof.
Yeah.
Armor is serious.
Yeah. A lot of people work their way up from, like, the stables.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah. Huh. There was actually a really moving story of somebody who's been working there for a long time as a knight, because it's not too frequently that people work there that long. But he loved it, and he said, like, people would recognize him and tell him how special their occasion was. It was really sweet. It was a sweet story.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Huh. The servers are pretty heroic, too, because the food is cooked in these full sheet pans, and the servers carry those whole dang pans out and serve their whole section at once, one by one, out of the sheet pan, just running down the rows and tonging everything onto your plates. And that's like 25 to 30 people. So you're talking about 25 to 30 half chickens that you're carrying through a stadium with horses. In the dark.
At this restaurant.
Yeah. it's wild. I'm like, oh, okay, sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Something else is wild is that they use so many Spanish horses. They have their own breeding farm in Sanger, Texas. They do have a lot of horses.
Well, dang.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about some nutrition, I guess.
Okay, well, okay. On paper, neither the veg or the omnivore dinner is that bad for you. The omnivore option is a little bit light on the vegetables and heavy on protein and carbs, but both are just like a lot of food. And according to the thorough nutrition information on the Medieval Times website, the chicken meal will run you 1,542 calories. And the veg meal will run you 1,173. And that is including dessert and a non-diet soda.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a bunch for a meal. That's close to, if not your daily recommended caloric intake. The chicken meal also has the recommended upper limit of saturated fat intake for the whole day. Both meals contain more than your recommended intake of sodium. As always, watch your portion sizes. Choose less processed foods when you can for best nutrition. Or just go to Medieval Times and eat your chicken with your hands and have a nice time.
It's a feast.
It's a.
We were invited to a feast, Lauren. So feast we shall.
I can't argue with that logic.
Nope. We do have some numbers.
Uh-huh.
These restaurants attract about 2.5 million visitors each year. And since its creation, over 66 million have attended. In different places, there are different numbers, but that's from Medieval Times. And most places have it between 59 and 66 million. So,
okay.
Somewhere in there.
A bunch.
Yeah. Currently, there are only 9 castles in the U.S. and 1 in Canada, I believe in Toronto.
Yeah, yeah. And together, they serve some 25,000 meals on the typical Saturday night.
Wow.
I know, right? Per year. New York Times ran the numbers. That equals out to 200,000 gallons of tomato soup, 750,000 pounds of potatoes, 5 million pounds of chicken, and 400,000 gallons of Pepsi products.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, okay. Cyberbullying. Medieval Times has a new campaign called Chivalry in Action that is meant to be an anti-cyberbullying kind of educational campaign. And because of that, they have been trying to re-update their scripts so that they're nicer.
Uh-huh.
Because a lot of Medieval Times was, you know, fighting, one, but also just, I think anyone who's been to a Renaissance fair or something knows what I'm talking about, where people kind of insult.
It's insults and bawdiness and,
right,
yeah.
Which is kind of the medieval, like,
shtick.
Really. But, yeah, they're trying to move away from it. And I found this quote I wanted to include in the research from Ariella Alema when she was asked about this. She said, "I'm not sure knights would have understood cyberbullying." I'm not sure they would have.
You know, good point.
Good point. And she would know because she wrote her doctoral dissertation on medieval Europe's trial by battle customs.
Oh.
That's why they asked her. I just thought it was funny. You never know where the research will go.
True.
Yes.
True.
And if you are looking for a place to have a good meal, perhaps this is not your place. I read in many places you are not there for the food. I would agree.
And to be fair, only 4% of their 2,000 employees work in the kitchen. So
that's wild.
I know, right? For that many chickens?
I know.
Like, gosh.
Well, those numbers have given me some pause. But we do have some history for you.
Oh, gosh, we do. But before we get to that, we're going to take one quick break for a word from our sponsor.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
To go to the beginning, we must go back to that most medieval of times, the 1960s. And a rivalry, an epic rivalry, on a small Spanish island that involved barbecue. And barbecue businessman Jose Montané and another restaurateur. As the story goes, Montané overheard some British tourists discussing knight jousting during medieval fairs, and he had an idea. What if he lured more tourists to his barbecue joint via show?
Ah.
Yes.
I will say that most good rivalries involve barbecue, but but
that is true.
Not enough of them involve jousting, so good on him.
He combined the two.
Yeah,
he found what was missing. So he transformed his estate first into a medieval dinner theater in the 1960s, and soon after he opened a second location in Spain. Montaner also had interest in Spanish history. In particular, he cited the 1961 Charlton Heston film El Cid. It featured many of the key aspects of medieval times, these original restaurants, horses, knights, jousting. Later, he even tried to hire Heston. He tried to hire him, but the price was too high.
I can imagine.
I can imagine.
It's too. Charlton Heston in the 1960s. That's a big price tag.
I can imagine that it would be.
And you've got horses to feed.
Oh, gosh, yes. By the 1980s, he had convinced a group of investors to go ahead with the title of Medieval Times. The first U.S. location opened in Orlando, Florida, less than 15 minutes away from Disney World in 1983. The castle cost almost $4 million.
Orlando, never change. Never change.
Also, I didn't include this, but I'll add it in now because I do think it's funny. They filed multiple lawsuits against competing restaurants in Orlando.
What?
And one of them I've been to, and it's like a pirate-themed medieval times. That also was an accident. This was back before I maximized.
Oh, my gosh.
It was an interesting experience, for sure. For sure. But yes, oh, Orlando, indeed. So when this opened, this was on the heels of a long history of people looking down on dinners provided during shows. Originally, stage productions that provided meals did so primarily to stave off complaints of hunger during long shows. But Medieval Times was different in that it was a live stunt show that didn't rely on star power. No Charlton Heston, no problem. But over a decade from when it opened, attendance at that Medieval Times rose from under 200,000 to above 600,000. The second location opened in California in 1986. Beginning in 2000, management decreed that choreography must be uniform pretty much the entire show.
Across the across all the castles?
Yes.
Huh.
Must be uniform.
I see.
And then, tragedy. In 2010, two Florida locations filed for bankruptcy after the IRS came at them for over $10 million tax claim in back taxes.
Whoa.
Yeah, so they had to file for bankruptcy so they could pay that.
The IRS, heck.
Look, y'all, we're talking about a scary, I won't say villain, but presence in a medieval show, perhaps the IRS taxman. Could do it.
Huh.
Okay. As of 2017, they started replacing the kings with queens. As of yet, there have been no female knights. And the updated script include lines like, "There'll be no matchmaking tonight," and "Serve me as you served my father, and forget not that inside I have the blood of kings."
Yeah.
Yeah, it was actually the guy who wrote this. He's been writing the scripts for 30 years since it started.
Oh, wow. Huh. Uh-huh.
And you can read his interview about it and his kind of process of having, he felt like he had to explain why she was the queen. And finally, the female writers were like, "The king never explained why he was a king. She's just the queen, man." It was really good. It was also a fun read.
Aw.
Yes. And we did want to include in here a very brief historical fact check.
Yes, because as you can imagine, it's not the most accurate.
Right. Cable guy might have indicated.
Dinner-wise, I can't promise anything about the horses and falconry.
Yes.
I don't know anything about those things.
I would have loved to have researched it, but we are purportedly a food show.
Purportedly.
Yes.
But yes, so the medieval times, like the period, the medieval period, a.k.a. the Middle Ages, was a long stretch of time. Like, it ran from the fall of the Roman Empire around 476 CE through the beginning of the Renaissance in 1453 CE or thereabouts. And food changed a bit during that time and also varied across different parts of Europe.
Right. So if we're talking about how accurate is a menu, not that all accurate. The tomatoes for bisque, not brought to Europe till the 16th century and largely believed to be toxic at first. See our tomato episode, which is one of my favorites, for more on that. Similar with the potato, it hadn't arrived until later in Europe.
Yeah, and corn is also a crop of the Americas and didn't make it to Europe until after the Middle Ages. Though, to be fair, the word corn was sometimes used in medieval English to refer to all manner of grains. So sweet buttered corn might conceivably have appeared on a menu at the time.
Did this come up during our Lord of the Rings episode?
Had a printed menu. Gosh, I was trying to think of when it did.
I think it did because we were talking about
it.
Yeah, because he was trying to be super accurate of this, like, time, right? I'm pretty sure we talked about it.
Oh, gosh, that's been bugging me, and I couldn't figure out why Google Drive was serving me the Lembas episode.
Yes.
Oh, that's why. Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
Whew. I'm here to help.
Speaking of hobbits, coffee and tea did not arrive in Europe until after the Middle Ages either. All these things were imports during the age of exploration and colonization, really kicking off in the late 1400s after medieval times.
Right, right. And of course, Pepsi products, surprise, surprise, were not a thing then either.
No. I believe, oh gosh, I didn't look up the number, but from our carbonated water episode, mm-hmm. There was some interest in sparkling beverages during that time, but it didn't really kick off until people figured out pressurization technology in what, like the 1700s?
I think so.
That sounds right.
That sounds right. Yeah. Huh. And the food at medieval times. The restaurant is a little on the bland side, and spices were really popular during actual medieval times, in part to perhaps cover up the taste of spoiled meat.
Perhaps there's argument about whether that's accurate or how spoiled it possibly could have been without people getting sick all the time, although people did kind of get sick all the time. But anyway, for sure, spices were a way for rich people to show off, and they used a lot of them,
yes.
Like garlic, ginger, cloves, cinnamon, pepper, cumin, cardamom, and mace were all super popular, as were sauces with lots of sugar and vinegar and wine.
And another thing, feast, as they allege to be at this restaurant, were much larger during actual medieval times.
So much larger. Like, okay, if you're a chef at a medieval times, you might be seating 900 to 1,500 people per seating.
Mm-hmm.
And you are going to have more than one seating a night.
Right.
So when you serve them all at once simultaneously. And that's a lot. Mm-hmm. It's a lot to deal with. It's a lot of people. But big event feasts lasted multiple days and involved so much food. Slate, which has a whole article about medieval times food and how inaccurate it is, they reported that the marriage feast for Margaret of England, Henry III's daughter, they served 1,300 deer, 7,000 hens, 170 boars, 60,000 herring, and 68,500 loaves of bread.
For one?
I mean, probably not all at, like, one sitting. That was probably, I imagine, that was over, like, a weekend at least, a few days.
Gosh.
I don't know that much about this wedding. I honestly didn't look it up.
Well,
but
either way,
yeah.
That is a lot of food.
Yes. And each course would have included many dishes served simultaneously, like 15 plus, like 7 on the low end, like 15 plus for big fancy ones. And it would be combinations of hot and cold dishes. So you'd get, like, early courses would be like savory pies and pastries, different soups, different stews, then moving on to different meats and different sauces, then more other different meats and more other different sauces, the fritters and breads, fruits and candies and sweet pastries and cheeses. Just all the things.
It sounds like all the things.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Also, as we have talked about in previous episodes, feasts around this time tended to be heavily presented. Like truly wild display and decoration going on. None of all of this, all the food being the same color on a single individual plate stuff, no.
Yeah.
See our aspic episode for lots of examples. But like, yeah, like savory gelled molds with like whole roast fish inside and then leafed with gold and silver to make it look like sparkling. They were swimming through sparkling water.
Right.
Like animals roast in other animals roast in other animals,
mm-hmm.
like original turducken stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Birds served decorated with pastry to resemble their original plumage.
Oh, my goodness.
Little marzipan figures that were molded to make some kind of weird political statement that I don't really understand.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, you're not really getting that at medieval times restaurant. Which is fair.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay.
No, it is. Totally cool.
Yeah.
Not, again, the experience. And as for those utensils, People were using them during medieval times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Though they might have shared them with fellow diners.
Maybe. Yeah. Spoons were definitely in use. Mm-hmm. And knives also. Like even common people would have probably had like a small dagger or knife on their person basically at all times and probably would have used it at the table as kind of an all-purpose implement.
Right.
To be fair, forks, as we have discussed, were regarded with suspicion by most of Europe through the end of the Middle Ages and caused a scandal or two when brides from further south brought them to their wedding feasts.
That's true.
So the no forks thing is legit.
Yeah. That's a kind of a plausible
yeah.
in the Mythbusters scheme of rating things.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the roast chicken, pretty legit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it. I think.
I like that. Silence. No fork, roast chicken. Accurate. Also, we didn't say this, but yeah, you're eating this chicken, like you're digging in with your hands.
Yeah.
So
half a chicken.
Yeah. So they give you moist towelettes, which also not a thing.
No, that was not prepackaged moist towelettes. Definitely were not a thing at that time.
Yeah. I got to thinking about that much later and too late to really look into it, but I've never really thought about the history of napkins.
It's clearly something we have to research.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be very short. People figured out early on, sometimes you want to wipe your hands.
Done.
Sometimes you use your clothes.
Yeah.
You know, whatever's around.
Whatever's around.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really know. You never know where the research is going to take you.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
But yeah, I guess that sort of just brings us to a general, like moral of the story that I wanted to throw in here, that we have this idea that dining and everything in medieval times was kind of crude. Mm. And I guess like compared with today, in some ways it was, in some ways it wasn't. But a lot of our ideas of what medieval life was like come from either really romantic or really like sarcastic or an ugly retellings of history, both from the late Middle Ages themselves and also from more modern times, especially the Victorians really loved retellings from that era and also a lot of American films from the 1950s and 60s.
Yeah, I think we definitely have, or at least for me, a lot of things I think of, and it's not accurate, as Monty Python. Like,
oh, sure. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, there are popular culture things where that's what we see and we think, okay,
yeah,
medieval times was this.
Yeah. And I mean, it's an interesting version of history. Like, we both love Game of Thrones.
Are we loving,
which is not historical,
times?
I know.
Medieval times restaurant into historical retellings of the medieval period.
They claim on their website that their story is based on a true story from a real family.
I did read that.
And I don't know if that's marketing or not.
It's from Spain, right?
Yeah.
Well,
they
you
don't,
know.
But they don't say which one
yeah.
anywhere, which makes me, I mean, to be fair, there were a lot of royal people.
Yeah.
In Spain for a long time. So who knows?
Maybe it's bits and pieces.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. There should really be more of an Islamic element in medieval times because Spain during that time would have had lots of Islamic influence.
Another inaccuracy.
Well, there you go.
Well, if anyone can explain or illuminate the story behind the story that they use at medieval times, please let us know.
Oh, we clearly need to get these people on the horn.
Oh, gosh, I would love to. I would love to. We'll see if we can make that happen.
It seems everything that I've read about it was like either like this is a great ridiculous thing to bring your kids to or this is a great ridiculous thing to be drunk at as an adult with your friends.
I think both can be true.
Mm-hmm.
Also, again, just going in knowing the food is fine.
It's not the main part of the experience.
Yes. And that's not, no shade on, that is a lot of people that you're serving all at once.
Yeah. Like, oh my gosh. I couldn't feed 1,300 people
yeah.
at the same time.
Yeah. And probably half of them are giving you some kind of shtick. People. Anyway, that was what we had to say on Medieval Times.
Yes. And we do have a little bit more for you, but first we've got another quick break for a word from our sponsor.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you. And because we ended on just a little bit of like a weird down note before the ad break there,
yeah.
I just wanted to share with you two more positive tidbits about Medieval Times.
Yes.
First, there is a museum of torture in the lobby that you can go check out before mm-hmm. your dinner. Because that's good family fun for everybody.
Yeah.
I know I'm using my sarcastic voice when I say that, but I kind of genuinely mean it, like being the like weird goth soul that I am.
Right.
That's A. And B, Annie, would you relate for us once more, as you did during the break, the phone number that you can use to dial Medieval Times?
Well, that number would be 1-888-WE-JOUST. We joust.
Oh, it's still funny even when I'm expecting it. Oh, okay. All right.
Also, by the way, this is not a sponsored episode.
Nope. 0%. We are just genuinely, completely heckin' delighted by the existence of this weird thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely not a sponsorship.
No.
If y'all want to reach out, let us know.
Yeah.
We're right here.
We are here and available. Ready, clearly.
Anyway.
Anyway.
This brings us to
listener mail.
I was unprepared.
I should have waved my flag. That's all right. The look of shock on Lauren's face, listeners, was priceless. Sometimes.
Oh, heck.
You know, I didn't realize until the other day when I was, I think about these, you know.
Oh, man. Of course you do.
Oh, I have to.
Yeah.
I think we just started doing it because at the time we couldn't decide on a jingle or something.
Right, yeah.
And now it's just a thing. It's like at the end of Epic Rap Battles of History, they do that.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. He always, the announcer always says it in some different way.
Well, that's great.
So, hey.
So, hey.
We're not the only... only ones doing this.
Yeah. Yeah, it has legitimacy.
It does.
In the field.
Yes, it is a tried and true method. Justine wrote, I'm writing in again because I have a personal tale about the savory mochi eaten at New Year's in Japan.
Ooh.
I used to date a German-Japanese guy, and for New Year's, we would often stay with his mother. She had moved to Germany. She would treat us with these amazing traditional Japanese dishes that are eaten for good luck, prosperity, and all that good stuff, and they included some of the weirdest textures and flavors I have ever experienced, one of which was the sticky rice cake wrapped with nori. She put the little blocks, they reminded me of big erasers, in the oven where they puffed up in the weirdest shapes. Then she wrapped them in nori, put the package in a little bowl, and spooned a little broth, I believe miso, over it. It was hard enough to even grab with chopsticks, but then holding it strongly enough to bite off a manageable chunk was the real challenge. While I was trying to chew, they told me those stories how especially old and young people have breathing issues or even die. And I was making extra sure that I didn't swallow any unchewed pieces. Most stressful eating experience of my life. Oh, those stressful eating experiences.
Oh, goodness. We've all had them.
We have.
Certainly we've had them.
Oh, gosh. Yes, we have. I don't think I've ever had one where I was eating something I was worried would kill me at that moment. You know, like later, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Like years down the line, perhaps, but never in the moment.
Yeah. I've never been trying to eat something and thought, oh, boy.
This is going to be it.
Yeah.
This could be the last thing.
Yes.
Oh, Austin wrote, we recently got a new puppy, and getting him to sleep through the night has been ridiculous. I feel you there. However, I learned that if I play your podcast, he'll sleep. Ah, at first I thought he just liked to hear people talking, but after introducing him to three other podcasts, I found out he prefers yours. As soon as he hears the opening music, he makes his way into my bedroom. Thank you guys for making puppy training a breeze. Attached below are pictures of the dog, Scout. P.S. I wanted to name him Garlic, but it was vetoed. Oh, that is so sweet. Scout. Hi, Scout.
Hi.
You are such a good dog, Scout. You're trying.
You know what? We should update our slogan, Savor, preferred by puppies. I like it. I'm not offended at all. He hears it, goes to sleep. No, that's great.
No, that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Get sleep however you can, man.
Exactly. Exactly. It did remind me of back when, you remember when we had the problem with our ad breaks where they're so loud?
Oh, yeah.
Compared to the rest of the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And so many people wrote in angry at me. Well, not me,
well,
but yeah.
At the situation.
Saying, I use your podcast to fall asleep, and how dare you wake me up? And I would say in the most polite way as possible, I really, truly do appreciate that. But if you're just trying to sleep, maybe other podcasts.
Yeah.
Until we fix this problem, which we did. And now we're helping puppies.
You know, it's just one puppy at a time.
One puppy at a time.
Making the world a better place.
Yes. Yes. Well, thanks to both of them for writing. Both were delights.
Yes. Oh, gosh.
And if you would like to write to us, we would love to hear from you. Our email is hello@savorpod.com.
We're also on social media, and you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @SavorPod. Savor is a production of iHeartRadio and Stuff Media. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way.